Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back. And now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact. Hey everyone, welcome back. So I have with me today my friend and colleague, Rebecca Zung. You probably know Rebecca as the founder of Slay Your Negotiations with a Narcissist. She is a narcissism negotiation expert and founder of the Slay Negotiation Method. She has a YouTube channel with more than, I think she said 35 million views in less than two and a half years. Crazy! She's one of the top 1% of attorneys in the nation, having been recognized by U.S. News and World Report as a best lawyer in America, as legal elite by Trend Magazine, and recognized by her peers and the judiciary as AV preeminent rated in family law, the highest possible rating for an attorney by Martindale Hubbell. She is really, I love Rebecca's, the way that she sort of packages things and makes them so interesting and digestible in terms of negotiating with a narcissist. Before I bring you over to my interview with Rebecca, I just wanted to say that this month's Q&A was awesome. You guys were incredible. Your questions were incredible. We will be having another call. It's the second Tuesday of every month. So the next one is April 11th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, 12:30 Eastern, and we'll put the link in the show notes for you to register, and then you'll get an opportunity to submit questions in advance. Even if you don't have a question, I think people are really getting a lot out of just sitting on the call and listening, but if you have questions for me, that is a great, great place for you to ask them. So April 11th, and look for the sign up in the show notes and in your email. If you're on my email list, you will definitely get notified of that. All right. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Rebecca Zung. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming back on to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast to talk about
having me.
Yeah, all things narcissism.
You know, it's always a topic that is on people's minds because it, you know, causes so much pain, so much drama, trauma, and chaos.
That's right. Drama, trauma, and chaos. Tell me, how do you define a narcissist in your work? What do you say?
I like to define it in layman's terms. I like to say that it is a person who has no feeling of value internally. Now, I don't say that they don't have feeling. I mean, that they don't have value. I say they just don't feel like they have value.
Yeah.
Internally.
Right. Okay.
And so that they have to extrapolate all of their feeling of value from external sources, and that it is really scarcity to the utmost extreme. So it is survival at the most extreme. I tell people that the reason why they don't have any feelings of empathy is because they're just in such pain and survival mode all the time because they're just dealing with, you know, you have to picture a person that's like desperate, starving, gasping for breath all the time. And you know, it's scarcity to the utmost extreme. And people who are closest to them think, I will fill that void for you. I will do that. And they want you to fill it too. And so then you're left feeling totally and utterly depleted, and yet they're still starving. And then it's like this.
Because it's not yours to fill.
Exactly.
Right? We want to so badly. And we do. It's like getting blood from a stone, right? Except we're like warring. It's the opposite of getting a blood from a stone, right? It's like they're sucking all the blood out of us until we are a stone.
Yes. And it's a sieve that's totally, you know, like a empty, that, you know, there's a hole there that's, mm-hmm. you know, can, it just goes right through them.
Right.
So it can never be filled. And then they actually start resenting the fact that you're not filling in for them.
Right. And they get angry and abusive. That's when the abuse comes in, right? Because in the beginning, it's, oh my God, you're the one.
Yeah.
You're it.
Exactly. Right?
And then when we're not it, then there comes the rage and the criticism and the all of the abusive behaviors.
Pretty quickly, actually.
Right, right. I mean, I think it's really important to, like, we can't stress this enough. Narcissists can't change.
No, exactly.
And I think that's the hardest thing for an empath to grasp,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That this can't change.
Yeah. And what I have found, and this is the hardest thing, I think, a lot of times, and especially for people who want to help people in these relationships,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like a secondary form of addiction in a way, you know,
yep.
because somebody who's in that relationship, you almost can't help them also unless they want to be helped, because they throw up red flags also, you know, like the narcissist had an abusive childhood, you know, they had a tough year. They're going through something right now. You know, it's almost like you as the empath make excuses for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is that you want to help this person, and you want everyone to see that this is a person in pain. And I get that too. I get that
right.
too.
Right.
But you also, I think there's a part of you that also is kind of making excuses for yourself and defending the fact that you're in this relationship with this person,
mm-hmm.
and saying, well, gosh, you know, I'm here. What's wrong with me if I'm still staying here, or that I allowed myself to be here in the first place? You know, I mm-hmm. mean, I think there's a subconscious element of that.
There's a lot of shame, I think, right? And then I think because of the shame, there's probably some denial.
That's what I mean. There's
yeah,
that shame,
sort of like double down
denial of that. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like defending yourself for being there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like
right.
I'm
right.
still here because I'm helping this person, because this person is in need of help, you know, like
mm-hmm.
they had a rough childhood. They are going through a lot. They had a tough year, and that's why they treat me this way.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, I always say that they're giving the narcissist more compassion than they're giving themselves.
Mm, so true.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and that's what we do as empaths, and certainly as, you know, people who suffer from any form of codependence, right? It's the other mm-hmm. person's needs are will always be more important. And whether if you're not a codependent, just being in a relationship with a narcissist trains you in that.
Yeah. Well, right? Or you think they're changing, they're fixing it.
Yes. Yes.
So you know, they said they're getting better. This time it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to therapy now, or they said that they're going to work on it or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
they're
right.
so good at that too.
They are so good at that. They're so good at copping to like the front 5%. So that creates like the smoke and mirror effect of like, no, I am doing the work. Like, no, I really do. I know. I need to work on that. And then you think, oh, okay, they heard that, but they're not working on it.
No.
They just know that they needed to say that to get you off their back.
Yeah.
And so like that's, so we're sort of talking about like what it's like being in a relationship with this person, right? But then it's sort of this cycle goes on and on and on and on, and then you kind of want to get off.
Yeah.
And that's when things can get really tricky.
Yeah.
Can you sort of talk about what happens at that point?
Well, and that's where I kind of end up coming in.
Right. that's your wheelhouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, you know, there's the love bombing, then the devaluing, then the discard phase. And I always say it's more of a Venn diagram than linear.
Right.
Because it is sort of going back and forth. But once you get into the discard phase, and that is the end of the relationship, that is really where you start to see the birth of the smear campaign and the mask coming off. And that is where there's this term called splitting, because narcissists really do see things in black and white. They don't have the ability to see things in gray. You're either for them or against them. You're either good or bad. And you know, that they have to start lining people up against you. It's everybody else is going to be for me. No one else is going to be for you. You know, they have to, they're very afraid that you're going to expose them. They're very afraid that people are going to see them for who they really are. And so they want to make sure that they take you down before you can take them down. And so it can't ever be, let's wish each other well, and let's just walk off into the sunset and be friends and have a nice, amicable splitting up of each. It can't ever be that, whether it's a business relationship or a personal relationship or whatever it is, or you're saying goodbye in a job, whatever it is. I mean, I'm not just talking about divorce. I'm talking about anything.
Anything. They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
It's got to be the scorched earth. Torch the thing. It has to be that way with them. Unfortunately, they cannot help themselves. And I mean, I wish it could be different. I know for me, in the times that I've had relationships with narcissists, I've tried very, very hard to not have it be that way, but they can't help themselves.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilled Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of TILT is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the TILT Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to TILT Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So what do you do? How do you
fight against this smear campaign? Like, are you hitting point for point?
No, you never do that. You never do that. Because then you're down in the mud with them. You're down in the mud with them. And as soon as you're down in the mud with them, you know, you're in the mud, you know? And so you never explain, justify, or overshare. That's the first thing that I tell people. Never. You pretend like you're reporting the news. That's what I tell people, you know, like you just almost like pretend like you're holding a microphone in your hand and you're like just observing. Oh, there she is, you know, smearing the person. I see them doing that now, you know, almost as if you are a third party observer. And I know it's extremely difficult because, you know, they're going to do everything in their power to try to trigger you. And they know it, you know, especially if you have been in a personal relationship with this person, they know what your Achilles heels are. I mean, so they're going to, if being a good mother is your thing, that's the thing that means the most to you, they're going to say, you're a shitty mom. You know, that's the thing that they're going to say. And you're going to want to defend yourself. And you know, they're going to spend paragraphs and text messages of all the ways that you're a shitty mom, you know, and you're going to want to go back paragraph by paragraph, line by line. Here's all the ways that I'm a great mom. You know, I do the homework with them and I just, you know, sit there and I do algebra and I, you know, take them to baseball and I put them to bed. You know, you do not need to do that. You know,
right.
You save yourself, you know, do not do that. You do not need to do that. You know, so what I tell people is, you know, I just do not ever defend yourself. Do not ever defend yourself. Because when you defend yourself, you're giving the person credence. You're literally giving them credence. Mm-hmm. So I tell people to just, when you get emails or text messages like that, to just look through all of it and find like the one or two things that you absolutely have to respond to and respond in as few sentences as possible. You can respond like, I'm in receipt of your email. I deny all of it. And we can meet at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. And that's it. You know, you don't need to go line by line. You don't.
Do you have to say, I deny? Oh, is this a, from like a legal standpoint, is that a good strategy?
You don't need to, but for some people, it makes them feel better to say that because you know, remember that every text, every email, every social media post, everything you put your hand to is a potential trial exhibit, especially if you are in a divorce situation or, you know, you're in any kind of potential litigation or potential legal situation. So I always tell people, before you hit send, before you hit post, before you write anything, just imagine the judge is over your shoulder going, okay. You know, so just like, would you want to see this again in cross-examination, in a deposition, or anything like that? Because you potentially might in an uncomfortable situation. I've been there. I've been the lawyer in those situations and having my client in an uncomfortable situation and looking over at my client going, when did you send that again? Like, what the hell? You know, like, so just don't take a breath. Don't do it. You know, you might see it again. So just take a couple moments to collect yourself before you do those things. And so if it makes you feel better to say, I deny it, fine. You don't necessarily have to. I mean, I tell people even motions that are filed with the court are not evidence. They're not. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, it's filed with the court. You know, it's not evidence. It's not evidence until it's actually, you know, spoken under oath at a trial. You don't have to worry so much about those things. It makes people feel better.
Yeah, sometimes, right? But then I think it even opens the door to like, oh, you deny it? Like, right? Like, and then we're off.
Yeah, and well, you don't even need to respond a lot of times to that. And I do say, make sure that if you have children, you do use some sort of an app, or you make sure you're always using email, something that you have a time and date stamp. You know, try not to use text messaging because that they can be manipulated. You know, a lot of people say they use screenshots. Well, screenshots, there's not a time and date stamp. It's, you know, it's not as good.
That's right. And some states don't allow text messages or screenshots unless they are like downloaded. Right. You need the whole
thread, entire conversation. As part of this, the rules of evidence. So, I mean, that's why email is better, because you want the entire conversation in there. So that's why I say try to stay disengaged as much as you can, because with a narcissist, like, there's always sort of that quip of, you know, it's sort of like getting arrested. Everything you do and say is eventually going to be used against you.
Right.
But it's kind of true. I mean, you kind of have to be like, surprised when they act like a regular person, be not surprised when they don't. I mean, I remember one time having a situation with a client where she called me after she had seen her husband in Carline, and she was like, can you believe he acted like this? And can you believe he acted like that? And he was like a total jackass, you know? And I was like,
Yes. Yes, I can.
What I can't believe is that you can't believe it.
Right.
You know, like, you've been telling me for 3 years, every single day, what a jackass he is, you know? So let's be surprised if he acts like a reasonable human being. Let's like reverse this, you know? And then you won't be so upset every time he acts like this.
I hear all these stories all the time, and people posting in my Facebook group, and I know you do too, right? About like, they're so shocked by behavior that has been going on for like, you know, 20 years, right? This isn't shocking, babe. This should not be shocking anymore. And what I say is like, now it's your job to accept that this is who this person is. And I think that's so difficult for people.
Yeah, right, like, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
Right.
Yeah, and wisdom to know the difference. You cannot change them.
Yeah, and it's not just like you can't change them, but also like there's an acceptance of like, oh, this really is who they are, right? Yeah. Because all of our trying to change them is like, oh, no, let me help you. Oh, no, I can, you know, I'll do this for you. Or, right, because we have the mindset that they actually want to change or they want to get better. They're so miserable. They keep coming to me with their problems. Surely they want their problems solved. That's not necessarily the case, is it?
Oh, yeah, no. No, no. They actually get supply from jerking you around. They get supply for making you miserable. And that's one of the myths, you know, I'm talking about Mythbusters that I would love to actually share over here.
Yes.
And one of the myths that I want to share is that narcissists just want to win. That is just not true. You know, I actually break out narcissistic supply into what I call diamond level supply and what I call coal level supply. And diamond level supply is, you know, how they look to the world and adulation and, you know, prestigious friends and all of those kinds of good things, which they love. Of course, they love that too. And they love winning. Yes, of course they do. But they also love what I call coal level supply, which is jerking you around, manipulating you, controlling you, you know, being an overall jackass just to see you squirm. And they love that too. That's why people can't get their cases settled, because they constantly move goalposts. They send over an agreement, and even their own agreement, you know, 3 days later, even if you say, yes, I'll accept every single one of your points, then they come back and they go, well, you know what? I've been thinking about it. And no, you took so long to respond to me. So now that deal is off the table because, I don't know, the wind blew this way or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's because they enjoy manipulating you. That's why you have to negotiate with them in a totally different way. I mean, reasonable people, when you sit down to negotiate with them, they both have a goal of, let's figure out how to resolve this. Let's not spend money on attorney's fees. Let's figure out how to come to a resolution that allows us to both get something out of this deal and move on with our lives. That's when you have two reasonable people on either side. When you have a narcissist on one side or the other or both, they're trying to get supply out of it. And part of that supply is, I also love jerking you around. And so there's a fundamental flaw in the process.
It's a power and control thing, right? If they if they agree, if they settle, they're not in, they don't have power and control, right?
They lose their supply. They lose a supply source.
Yes. Yes. So how do, so you said you have to negotiate with them differently. And obviously you are the queen of slaying your negotiations with a narcissist. So how do you do that? What's the difference?
Yeah. So I use a methodology I call SLAY, which is strategy, leverage, anticipate, and focus on you. And you have to build a strategy first, and you have to have a vision. Most people, when they're dealing with narcissists, they forget to actually figure out where it is they actually want to go.
Yes, because we're always on defense. We can't even think about what, like, what we're trying to do.
Where it is you actually want to go.
Yeah, such a good point. Yep.
And then create action steps to actually get there tactically. And then L is leverage. And the key to that leverage is figuring out diamond level supply versus coal level supply. So when you are figuring out, and there's only one thing that motivates narcissists, and that's supply. And beginning and end of the story. You know, with other people, they're motivated by many different things, you know? I mean, many different things. It's usually not even just one thing. They're motivated and incentivized by, you know, maybe it's time, maybe it's money, maybe it's their children, maybe it's many things. But for narcissists, it's one thing and one thing only, and that's supply. So that's the good thing. That's the bad thing. You have to take a look at what form of supply is going to be more important for them to keep than the supply that they get from jerking you around. Because diamond level supply will always be more important for them to keep than coal level supply. They will always protect and defend how they look.
Yes.
First and foremost. And there's always going to be some form of diamond level supply that's going to be more important to them. So you got to figure out what that is for that particular narcissist. And jerking you around is always going to be their secondary level of supply that's going on in that case, whatever mm-hmm. it is. So you got to construct some sort of leverage around that and then threaten that source of supply. But you can't actually take away that supply source, because if you do, then your leverage is gone.
So you're saying focus on leveraging how good you can make them look, or how good they're going to look at the end of this. So it's, you know, being father of the year or
threatening, you know, or making sure that they continue to keep that, you know, by saying, hey, you know, or even throughout the process, constructing a deal where they sort of, you sort of seed them coming up with the deal, you know, like, mm-hmm. hey, maybe you might want to come up with this deal, you know, like, maybe that's the key to it. But however you construct it, you got to remember that supply is the key. Mm-hmm. Supply is the key. But if they don't feel that they are potentially going to be exposed, then they're not going to let go of that supply source of jerking you around, depending on the malignancy also of the narcissist too.
Right, right, right. A more malignant narcissist is certainly, and we should point out here, which we talk about all the time on the podcast, that narcissism is a spectrum. And so if we're talking somebody who is much further out on the malignant side or with NPD, right? Because mm-hmm. even a you know, more benign narcissist, you do want to be playing to their ego, essentially.
You got to take your own ego out of this whole thing, by the way. And I tell people, you know, like, there's this kind of quip that I use, which is fluff for favor, vomit later, which is fluff up their ego. And, you know, you can go vomit later if you need mm-hmm. to, you know, in the process, fluff up their ego. You know, you get a little something, something that you want, give them a little something that they want. If there's a way to make them think that they came up with something, that's okay if you right. get what you want out of it. Sometimes ways that you can craft things like that too.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
The difficulty that I know that I come up with my clients in this, and I'm sure you see the exact same thing, is that when someone, in particular in a marriage, right, that's what we're talking about for my people here, they've been gaslit, abused, manipulated, devalued, all of these things for so long, the ability to be strategic and leverage can be practically non-existent.
That's where I go into the A and the Y, right?
Okay. Yeah.
It is hard because you've got cognitive dissonance and you've got, I mean, sometimes it's even physical.
Absolutely. I mean, I was literally on the phone with a client this morning and I was saying, well, you know, we were scripting certain things out and she just said, I can't say that. And it wasn't because of danger. It was, I mean, it was because of danger. It was past danger. It was like, I can't speak that way to my husband.
It is hard. It's very hard because they've conditioned you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're conditioning back in a way. So A is anticipate what they're going to do and stay two steps ahead of them. And then Y is focusing on you being on the offensive and then your mindset. Yes. Right. And 100% of it is your mindset. And so I also use kind of to go along with the letters, this whole process of step one, don't run. Step two, make a U-turn. Step three, break free. Each one of the letters goes along with this whole process because it is baby steps. I do see it as baby steps because I see it as kind of taking the like almost like a yacht or a ship or a you know, battleship, almost like a huge you know, and turning it around and then starting to go in the other direction and walking and going toward them, you know, because you're kind of going away and you got to turn it all the way around and start going toward and then like even going past, right? I mean, because in order to start turning it around so you're not on the defensive and then start actually speaking to them and then actually start feeling powerful and actually start and then actually breaking free so that you are feeling like yourself and feeling powerful and standing in your power is a whole process. And it didn't happen overnight that they conditioned you, and it's not going to happen overnight that you start, you know, feeling in your power. So first of all, you have to start creating boundaries. You know, I mean, that's step one, is to create boundaries.
Absolutely.
And because you're not going to start to heal until you can start getting away from that toxicity.
And the boundaries, it's so hard to set boundaries with this type of personality because as soon as you set them, they have a goal.
But you know what? I think of it as like a child having a tantrum on the floor. You know, because you know how a child with a tantrum on the floor is like, I want more. They're going to scream louder. They're going to scream harder. They're going to scream, you know, but they're always the worst right before they're ready to give up. I think it's like that with a narcissist.
Yeah. And your job, right, with a tantruming child is to say, I know that this is hard for you. I'm so sorry that you're so upset. And it's time to leave the party. Like, and the party's over. Right. And you just keep repeating. You don't follow their trail of yelling and screaming. You're just there.
Observing.
I'm so sorry that you're upset. I can see that you're really mad. Unfortunately, the party's over.
Yeah. You don't get down on the floor and start having a tantrum with them.
Right. Well, unless it's gone on for so long, you can't fucking handle it anymore. Yeah. I think all moms can agree. We've done that. We've all done that once or twice. And I love what you said. Like, you didn't get here quickly. This was not right. Because if they were all bad and they just came in like a toxic freight train, you would be like, you would have left. You would have run away in the opposite direction. But there was a period of grooming, of manipulation, of all of these tactics. And it's going to take, it's like deprogramming from a cult. Like it takes time.
Yeah. I always say to like, just forgive yourself for decisions that you made when you were in survival mode.
This is not your fault, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were really good. They're really, really good.
They're so good at it. They're so good at it.
They know exactly what to say. They know exactly who to be.
Yeah.
I would just forgive yourself for all of that. And just now, you know, when you know better, you do better.
That's right. And starting with boundaries. And as I always say, you know, the hardest part of boundaries is not setting them, it's holding them, right? Like if you set a boundary, you have to keep it. If you say, I am not comfortable having these conversations with you in person, I would prefer all of this to go through email so that I can gather my thoughts, and they come and they keep trying to have conversations with you in person. If you have the conversation with them in person, you've shot your boundary in the, you're, that's it. You've no more boundary.
Right. You teach people how to treat you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I say a lot is there are certain things that are negotiable and there are certain things that are not. And you can negotiate terms. You can negotiate issues. What's not negotiable is your self-respect.
Yeah.
And who you are.
Your value. Right. Your value as a human.
Your value as a human.
Yes. I love that, Rebecca. That's so good. That's so good. And it's so important because we've been in a relationship for so long with someone who has been devaluing us as a human. And mm-hmm. so actually our self-esteem is pretty much in the shitter at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the opening, you know, the name of my podcast is Negotiate Your Best Life. And in the mm-hmm. opening of my podcast, I say, I think sometimes the very first negotiation that you do is in the morning with yourself for your self-worth, you know? Yeah. I mean, I know it is for me sometimes, you know, and I joke that I'm not allowed to leave my thoughts unsupervised, you know?
Yeah. They're not allowed. Nope. Nope. Yeah. Oh, awful, awful, running rampant.
Yes. Like it goes straight to the gutter, straight to the ghetto. So, you know, if that's how you are out there listening, like just listen to good podcasts or listen to a good audio book or something that's going to keep yourself, your vibration high.
I love that. I think that is so important because we do, especially with our thoughts, right? We've just been conditioned to have all these negative thoughts about ourselves when someone else is telling us all sorts of negative things about ourselves. And especially if we, you know, if we were raised in that environment, all of those things. And to surround yourself with people who love you, with the people who are, you know, your best friends who are going to continue to tell you what a kick-ass human being you are. And don't be afraid to ask, tell people, say, listen, I need a little extra, you know, oomph these days. So I need you to tell me all the things you love about me, like once a week. That's what you need.
And be okay with receiving it. And I mm-hmm. think a lot of times we don't feel like we deserve it or we're okay with that. I mean, I think a lot of times, especially empaths, have had our own trauma mm-hmm. and as children or whatever, and we're just not okay with receiving love. I think that's something that you have to practice receiving, mm-hmm. being okay with.
Yeah. Well, most of us come by this really naturally, right? I mean, that's the thing, is that most of us, unfortunately, come to these relationships really naturally. That's not to blame us, right? It's not our fault.
No.
But we do have to deal with that eventually down the line at some point. Otherwise, we're going to repeat these patterns.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oof. So, Rebecca, I know that you're going to come back later to talk about this, but I do want to just give a plug for the fact that you do have a book coming out in October. So,
yeah, so
we're going to have you back in the fall when it's time for it to come out. But what's it called? And what do people know about it?
Thank you. Thank you. It's called Slay the Bully: How to Negotiate with a Narcissist and Win. And I'm so excited for it. Chris Voss wrote the foreword for it. And you can already pre-order it now.
Okay.
It's slaythebully.com. And we are doing amazing, amazing bonuses for it, including you can actually get an entire copy of the manuscript, which is pretty, pretty cool. So even though it doesn't come out till October, we will be, as soon as it's available from the publisher, which hopefully is going to be soon, we will be doing an entire copy of the manuscript. We're going to be doing a masterclass. We're going to be doing a workbook, all kinds of really cool things for it. That's what you can get for pre-ordering it, slaythebully.com. And of course, I have my YouTube channel and my Instagram, all of that good stuff. So,
and your podcast. Yeah. Tell everyone where they can find you and all the places.
My YouTube channel is youtube.com/ Rebecca Zung ESQ, which I'm, you know, I've had 35 million views on that in 2.5 years, which is,
oh my God, that's crazy.
Amazing. Yeah. My podcast just went over a million downloads, which is
excellent.
Which you're going to be on. We just recorded that episode, should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. Always very popular when Kate Anthony is on. My Instagram is at Rebecca Zung.
Everybody go check out Rebecca if you don't already, which most of you probably do. But
I have a free download. So my free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet, which it's a free ebook actually. Mm-hmm. And people can get that at winmynegotiation.com.
Winmynegotiation.com, and we'll put that in the show notes. Rebecca Zung, as always, thank you so much for being here. It's just always such a good conversation when I have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. Absolutely love you. So
back at you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at the Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.